Ladies and gentlemen, let's all stand out of respect for the Word of God tonight and turn in your Bibles, of course, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. And on this Wednesday night, again, I want to thank God publicly for all of the dear brothers and sisters who gather around from every quarter of the earth, and they bring their lost friends, and they sit before phones and iPads and other pads and laptops. Whole congregations are listening in, and we hear from people every day from around the world who hear us praying for them and preaching the gospel to them and preaching God's word. And we thank God for each and every one of you. We thank God for the thousands of emails that have been sent in. And thank you for giving us the privilege and the joy to be a part of your lives in so many ways, especially in prayer and in evangelism. And we thank God for each and every one of you, and we thank God for the love you show us, the love you give. With all of the amens and comments and likes and hearts and all of that good stuff that I don't know much about, but I thank God for it. And so please join in prayer with the folks who are here and pray for me as I preach God's word tonight and going forward, as I am in my 40th year of preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have traveled the world and preached the gospel face to face, and now I'm able to do it face to face through this wonderful technology. And the way people are talking, that's going to be even expanded. That's going to be expanded even more as time goes on, if the Lord should tarry his coming and we live. Allow me to preach in your hearing a message titled Rejoice, Pray, Give Thanks, Repeat. These are commandments, they are not suggestions in this passage. This is part 4, Praying Through the Bible, number 339, message number 339. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. The Bible reads very simply, rejoice evermore. One of the problems in the church today is that we have to always feel something. We have to have a feeling to do anything. Emotions have to run high for so many people to do anything. And that's not what the Christian life is about. The Christian life is about faith in God and doing what God has commanded us to do by faith, whether we feel anything or not. You say, well, I don't feel like rejoicing. Well, guess what? I didn't feel like preaching tonight. But it is amazing how that if you will just do what God has commanded you to do, how that he will come along in the power of the Holy Spirit and not only make you feel like doing it, but you in fact enjoy doing it and you rejoice in it when God is in the midst. So you don't have a choice in the matter as a child of God. You do, because you are a free moral agent. You don't have to rejoice evermore, but you should. It behooves you to do so. Make up your mind that you're going to rejoice evermore, no matter what the circumstances are. The ABC Good Morning America host wrote a book, Wake Up Happy. Most people wake up sad and depressed and defeated. And God has blessed this man's life. Everything he touches turns into gold. And he's trying to encourage, sad to say, some Christians to wake up happy. But not only wake up happy, go to bed happy. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. By the way, that's the secret to rejoicing evermore. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are weak and feeble, but we know that you are there, you are here, and that you are strong and mighty. We are reminded again tonight from your holy word, it is not by might, nor by power, that is human might and human power, but by my spirit saith the Lord. So have mercy, continued mercy upon us, as your children, those of us who are truly born again, believers in Christ, please forgive us of all of our sins, as we from our hearts, by your grace, forgive those who have sinned against us. Cleanse us, Lord, from all unrighteousness through the blood of Christ. Crush and crucify, Lord, our flesh and the old man within us, and fill all of us who are saved or who name the name of Christ. Lord, give us your might and your strength and the power of your Holy Spirit to obey these commandments. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, give thanks. Lord, have it to characterize our lives from way deep down on the inside. Not something that is perfunctory or mechanical, something that we make up, but something that is real. By the power of your grace and by the power of your Holy Spirit, help us to be a people who cannot help but rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and give thanks for your glory, praise, and honor. And even tonight, Lord, in these difficult days, we pray that as the gospel goes forth around the globe, your Holy Spirit will not give lost people rest until they come to know your Savior. Open their blinded eyes, unstop their deaf ears as we throw out the gospel net tonight. Save those who are lost. We pray for 3 million souls to be saved through the preaching of the gospel from this pulpit. We pray for 3 million Christians to get right with you and to get back to you, their first love. And Lord, we believe that you will do it because you're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Glorify your holy name. Demonstrate the power of your Holy Spirit in spite of us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, as we say every Wednesday night, we are in a rather long but important series of messages titled Praying Through the Bible, a series on every passage and verse regarding prayer in the Bible. I would have never made it without God teaching me how to pray lo, these past 40 years. There's power in prayer. Make sure you take advantage of it. The purpose of this series is to encourage you and to challenge you, to exhort you, yes, if you will, to motivate you. You can call me a motivator, a person who is a what they call a person who motivates others, a motivational speaker, but only for prayer. I believe that people know how to pray. They know they should pray. My job has been down through the years is to tell people to do it. Just do it. And you will be amazed at what God will do. Yes, motivate you to pray to the God of the Bible. We highlighted each of these over 500 verses and passages in the Prayer Motivator Devotional Bible. So far, we have completed 338 messages in this series. This is message number 339, entitled Rejoice, Pray, Give Thanks, Repeat. Do it every day. Do it all day. And this is part four. Someone said, the greatest thing in life is to be in constant communication and communion with God. And I believe that with all of my heart. My wife and I were driving around today, and I told her I was praying up front, and I asked her, was she praying with me? And she said, yes. I said, because this is the most important thing that we can do, is to pray. Ladies and gentlemen, Mark Dunnigan said, the fact that we are saved, you can sit down in the back. The fact that we are saved, listen to this very carefully now. The fact that we are saved, that we are born again, that we can call ourselves Christians, should always be at least one major source of continual joy for the Christian. The admonition, be happy in your faith at all times, was addressed to Christians who were suffering. Rejoice evermore. The Christian can rejoice despite and because of hardship, in hardship. And I feel very sorry for so many Christians today who don't understand how important it is, by the grace of God, to rejoice even while you're going through difficult times. And how that God will give you the grace to do that. Only a Christian can smile and laugh when their house just burned down to the ground. The Christian can rejoice, he said, despite and because of hardship, because he or she knows that when hardship is met with the proper attitude, the proper spirit, the proper mentality, the end result will be great improvement in one's character. If our Christian experience does not lead to joy, we do well to ask whether our Christian experience is genuine. In other words, we need to examine ourselves and see if we are in the faith. I believe that it is, ladies and gentlemen, a mark of a Christian salvation, that they can rejoice evermore, Danae, no matter what they're going through. I've seen Christians laugh and try to laugh and smile. I can't help it. They tell me, don't make me laugh because it hurts so much. They have to suppress it. See, true born-again Christians, my dear friends, they have to work with other people. They have to suppress the joy to just be normal, because people will think that they're crazy. But your house just burned down. It's all right. They can't help that joy. They can't help that smile. They can't help that laughter. It's a Jesus thing, see. It's all about Jesus being in your life. And I am afraid, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, the reason why we're hearing so much bad news regarding Christian leaders, so-called servant leaders, pastors and evangelists and missionaries and people in the pews, I am afraid that many people who claim to be believers in Christ, who claim to be Christians, are not. And I say that because at some point in your life, if you're truly born again, you're going to start looking like Christ a little bit. You're going to start doing things differently than the world does. And one of those things is you're going to be able to rejoice evermore. You can't stop it. It's unstoppable. You can't hold it back. It's just going to come bubbling through, that joy unspeakable, that peace that passeth all understanding. I'm concerned about you if you claim that you have been saved for 27 years and you're always confused and doubtful and sad and depressed, and you're not cheerful and joyful. You're not rejoicing evermore. There's something wrong, dear friend, somewhere. You're always angry. You're always mad. There's something wrong somewhere. Have you been born again? Have you been saved? Have you truly trusted in Christ? Because these things, my dear friends, are not things you have to work up. I saw an article the other day, and I've been telling folks this for years, and we got a whole lot of so-called happy Christians who are depressed. Amen, somebody. Hiding behind a facade of being happy. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a joy that only God can give you, a peace that only God can give you. And you're that way all of the time, when you wake up in the morning and when you go to bed at night. I do like that title of that book, by the way, by that football player. I forget his name. He's the one who used to play for the New York Giants. He's got a little gap in his tooth, his teeth rather. He wrote a book titled Wake Up Happy. I like it. He might be saved. He might be born again. I'm afraid of people who don't wake up happy. wake up with questions all the time. Always got something negative to say. I'm concerned about people who don't go to bed happy. These people who they know they need sleep, but they're not excited about going to sleep. They just want to stay up and be nodding off and having uncomfortable sleep. No. I look forward to going to sleep, man. I look forward to it. You don't have to make me go to sleep. I went to sleep right before this message tonight. I took a nap. Sure did. My baby daughter had to wake me up. Papa, you got to get up. You got to go preach. You got to sit me in a chair and I'll go to sleep. You ought to be happy about going to sleep. What's wrong with you? Mad about going to sleep. You got some folks mad about waking up. I mean, what time of day will you be happy? When can we? What? Give us a time we can talk to you and have a decent conversation. These people who listen to me very carefully, people who are moody all of the time and up and down, and you don't know when to say anything to them. I don't know. I doubt whether or not you met Jesus, because Jesus provides a consistency and a steadiness and a sameness. Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. How about it, dear friends? How about it? Let's get some sameness going on. We don't know how to take you. We don't know when to say anything to you. Mad as the devil all of the time. And so, dear friends, the Bible's simple command, I said command, is for us to rejoice evermore. That means every day, every hour of the day, rejoice. Now, it is easy for many of us to rejoice at certain times when things are going well, when the money is high and the debts are low, when family ties are not strained, when your workload is not too heavy. But the Bible commands us to rejoice evermore. And by the way, if you're working a job that you hate going to, and then a job that when you get off work, you're good for nothing, you might want to consider changing your path, your career path. You go to work mad because you hate the job. You're mad about the job all day long. You try to fake it to make it. And then when you get off work, you're mad and you're depressed, drained, disgusted. You don't have anything to give anybody, any love or encouragement or help or nothing. You might want to consider changing your job. That's not what life is about, dear friend. Maybe you need to start a coffee shop or something, or start a business. Do something you like doing. I like what Mark Cuban said, and many Christians need to hear this, because we got too many people, particularly in the black community. See, God didn't tell you that you had to work for somebody. God said you just have to work. And I like what Mark Cuban said. Mark Cuban said, I would rather have a business that brings in $50,000 a year than a job that brings in $100,000 a year. I said, go ahead. Go ahead, Mark Cuban. I like it. I like that. And that's what some of you people need to do. You are going to an early grave doing a job that you were not even made to do. That's free. Let me get off of that. I'm supposed to be talking about rejoicing evermore and prayer, but that's free. do that right there. Do that thing. I'm here to tell you. Only in America can it be done. If you're living in America and many other places too, but in America you can flat get it done. And I don't live in other countries, but other folks are doing it all around the world. Do your thing. One man said, he wrote a book titled, Do You. Stop trying to be somebody else. That's why you're so miserable. That's why you're so frustrated. Do you. Be you. I was showing a couple of my daughters a possible job opportunity, and one of the benefits that the job opportunity had on the list was be yourself. If you work here, you can be yourself. The Greek word translated as evermore literally means every win. That's old time talk. Every win, or at all times, or whenever. No matter what the situation, no matter what the problem, no matter what the difficulty, no matter what happened to you, no matter what's going on, rejoice. Daniel White the Fourth, rejoice evermore. You can find something to rejoice about in every situation. Oh, yes, you can. Good things will not always happen to you, my dear friend. Almost 30 times in Scripture, this word is translated as always. Always means, in the Greek, by the way, always means always, and that's all always means. Always, always. Someone asked the other day, what does it mean to pray without ceasing? Well, in the Greek, it means to pray without ceasing. Just don't stop praying. Always, always. Always means always, and that's all always means. Every Christian ought to strive to rejoice always. You ought to do it on purpose. By the grace of God, if you pray without ceasing, it will be easier. It will just come out of you that way. Rejoice always in all things. This is in contrast to the pity partiers, the Jesse Smollett's of the world, the people who always want people to pay attention to them, excuse me, will go to great lengths to have everybody's eyes on me. Always a victim. Always want to throw a pity party. You ask them how they're doing. You don't even want to ask them how they're doing, because they're going to go into a long story, a dreary story. Oh, I'm making it. I'm making it. I like the people who say, things like, I got a man in mind right now. He said he learned a long time ago not to complain. He said his dad took him to the woodshed for complaining. He said he hasn't complained since. He said, I'm just going to rejoice. Hey, he said, he got that tail whipping. He said, no, I'm not going to complain about anything anymore. Rejoice always in all things and at all times. See, when you're walking with the Lord, and the Lord is in you. Listen to me. I know some of you will think that this is trivial or too small to thank God for. listen to me very carefully. You'll thank God for a good meal. You'll thank God, man, for a beautiful day. You'll thank God like I did today because we were able to get several things done back to back that needed to get done. Have you ever been there when you didn't quite know how you were going to get it all done, but you had six things that you needed to get done, and you had to work with others to get it done, and you had to go from point A to point B, and sometime you had to zigzag and go to D before you went to C, and you just, when you get it done, you say, boy, you just pause and thank God for allowing us to get that done. How many of you have thanked God and rejoiced in God and thank God for allowing you to make it back home from the grocery store safely? How many of you have gone to Walmart and you said, thank you, Lord, for granting me safety to get here one more time? Ladies and gentlemen, it is not easy to do so sometimes. That is why in Philippians, Paul writes, rejoice in the Lord always. Can somebody say amen? I don't want you to just say amen. I want you to rejoice in the Lord tonight always. Whatever you're going through, whatever your situation. And one of the problems that most of you have, most of you, is you have not learned the old truth that you have to wait on God. So many of the modern day Christians, they can't wait. They're used to getting their Big Mac in 30 seconds. They're used to getting almost anything they want within just a few minutes. But we have many Christians today who can't wait on God, who choose not to wait on God, who don't even know what it means to wait on God. But let me tell you something about God. Let me tell you something about God, dear friend. You're going to have to wait on Him. You better learn how to do it. You better hold your horses, cool your heels, chill for a minute. Because you're going to have to wait on God. I don't care what dispensation you think you're in. You better learn how to wait. You better learn how to be patient. Because if you don't learn it, He's going to teach it to you real good. That's one of the reasons why you're so frustrated. There are people who just don't have that knack, that ability to understand that stuff takes time with God. Someone said that the wheels of God grind slow, but they grind slow. You're going to have to wait on God. You're going to have to wait on God, my dear friend. Some of you right now are in a holding pattern right now. Right now, and you're mad as fire. God's got you on hold and you don't know what is going on. What? Lord, I'm praying and Lord, I'm patting my feet. See, that's what He wants to stop you doing right there. Stop patting your feet and got your knee jumping. No. He wants all that to stop right there. Chill that. All that patting your feet. Now, Lord, come on now. Lord, come on now. Give me that man, Lord. Give me that woman, Lord. Come on now. My clock. No, see, you don't understand. God is not in time like you. Chill that little shaking knee and that patting of the foot like you're impatient with God. Oh yeah, He wants that to stop, and He's gonna make sure that stops before He does anything. That little impatient look you got. Come on now. No. You're not saying it, but that's what your spirit is saying to God. And God, and I'm not gonna have that. That's why you're in a holding pattern. Oh yes, you better wait. And then we got these little millennials and other generations, including baby boomers, and the baby boomers take the cake. We jump out ahead of God, and what do we have? You tell me, we have a mess. We have a mess on our hands because we didn't wait on God. Because, see, when you're waiting on God, you know what you're doing. You're praying. You got to be praying. You got to be praying when you're waiting on God. And so, my dear friends, the truth of the matter is that you cannot rejoice always in anything or anyone or everything or everyone in this world. You just can't. Good things will not always happen to you. Good people will not always happen to you. I love to see couples who, man, they're the original. I think Swindoll called it the original match. They're the real deal. I love it. Doesn't bother me. Have a seat in the back. I mean, couples. I've seen couples. They've been married for 60 years and they still hold hands when they walk inside McDonald's. They love each other. It's not a fake thing. It's a real thing. And God, please deliver us from these fake couples. Because the next time we see them, they're walking out of the divorce court. You will meet with people of very displeasing dispositions in life. As you may have heard recently, lifestyle influencer Marie Kondo, who has written 4 best-selling books on decluttering your life, has a new television series on Netflix promoting her organization skills and principles. She has boiled down her entire philosophy of tidying up to this question. I've always believed this, but I've never heard anybody do it like this woman here. I've always believed that if you have a clean, organized house or space, it will impact you positively, psychologically, mentally. She says even spiritually. All I know is that the old folks used to say that cleanliness is next to godliness. That's all I know. But she says, does this thing bring joy? This thing that you want to keep here, does it spark joy in your life? If this thing does not spark joy in your life, throw it out. That's what she says. She helps people make decisions about junk, about stuff they want to keep. Stuff they have not looked at in 20 years and have no intention of looking at it in 20 years, but they run across it with her. And, I don't know about that. I want to sit down one day and look at that and see. She said, no. She said, when was the last time you looked at it? About 25 years ago. Well, no, you know, just throw it out. Friends, if we took that principle to most of the material things, people, and experiences in our lives, if we judged everything and everyone based on whether or not it or they sparked joy, we would probably throw out over 70 to 80% of our possessions and cut ties with 70 to 80% or 90% or 95% or 98% of the people we know, family included. That is why you cannot look to things or people as a basis for your rejoicing evermore. You can't do it. You have to look to Jesus. Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. We sung tonight in the beginning of the service, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus." "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus." If you do that, dear friend, you will eventually get to the point where you are rejoicing nevermore if you're depending on getting your joy out of people and out of things. And that's what so many of you do. My boo. My boo, you know, he makes me so happy. And my dad was still living, Bishop Daniel White Jr., he would call him a boo-boo, not a boo. She's my life, she's my heart. I couldn't make it without her. Wait a minute. God is the one who gave the woman to you, and God is the one who gave the children to you. God is the one who gave the man to you. Don't talk stupidly. Don't talk crazy. Talking about you can't make it without somebody. Some of y'all right now, you on a terrible job because there's somebody you like on that job. You hate the job, but you got you a boo on that job, and that job ain't worth a flip, and that boo is not going to be worth a flip after a while. Okay? Stop looking to people to make you happy. I like what one marriage counselor said and while she was on television. I know who it was. Michelle McKinney Hammond. Now, the interviewer did ask her, "Why are you not married?" But that's another story. But she did say something very good. She said, if you're going to have a great marriage, you got to bring it all 100%, each one of you, to the table. It's not that he's a half and you a half and we're going to make a whole. No, no, no. It's 100%. Both of y'all need to be bringing 100% to the table. You need to be whole when you get there to the marriage altar. Amen, somebody. They are to help you along in life. And both of you are to depend upon Jesus, upon God. If it had not been God who was on our side in our marriage, we wouldn't be here after 31 years together. Our focus has been on God, on Jesus. That's it, man. And that way you can rejoice evermore. Even though you might be displeased with a human being. Jesus is always good. And not only sparks joy, but gives joy. And when you look to him as the source of your joy, you should and can and will rejoice evermore. Amen, somebody. I had the privilege of going to Charles Wesley's house in England, as well as John Wesley. The dynamic duo brothers who shook England and America by the grace of God and by the power of God. Everybody talks about John Wesley, but I kind of favor Charles Wesley. Charles Wesley had a wonderful family life. John Wesley, his family life was wanting. But Charles Wesley wrote these words so many years ago. He said, "Rejoice, the Lord is King, your Lord and King adore. Mortals give thanks and sing and triumph evermore. Lift up your heart, lift up your voice, rejoice again, I say, rejoice." What has happened to rejoicing in the church? I was going to tell you about a story I read, how that there are many people who are clinically depressed, but they hide their depression behind fake facade smiles or happy faces in their texts, but they're dying on the inside. Don't be that way, dear Christian friend. Let it be real or nothing at all. Jesus the Savior reigns, the God of truth and love. When he had purged our stains, he took his seat above. Lift up your heart, lift up your voice, rejoice again, I say rejoice. His kingdom cannot fail. He rules over earth and heaven. The keys of death and hell are to our Jesus given. Lift up your heart, lift up your voice, rejoice again. I say rejoice. Rejoice in glorious hope. Jesus the judge shall come and take his servants up to their eternal home. Lift up your heart, lift up your voice, rejoice again, I say rejoice. Ladies and gentlemen, let's all stand for prayer. Holy Father God in heaven, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your precious holy word tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the commandment to rejoice evermore, and the commandment to pray without ceasing, and the commandment to give thanks always. And Lord, it all goes together. Help us to do it. Grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to start tonight. And Lord, if we need to confess sins, if we need to repent, if we need for you to clean us up through the blood of Christ, so that joy can come back again, and so that we can wake up happy and go to bed happy and live happy, and by the power of your grace and by the fruit of your Holy Spirit, Lord, we pray that you'll do it in us tonight and help us never to go back to that dark and ungodly world of no joy, no peace, no rejoicing evermore. Save those who are lost. Revive those who are saved. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. And ladies and gentlemen, if you are with us tonight and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, your first prayer needs to be what we call the sinner's prayer. But first, please understand with me that you are a sinner. Please understand that, just as I am, and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We all have failed God, black, white, red, and yellow. We all have done wrong. We all have done evil. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Death means our body goes to the grave, our soul goes to a place called hell. If we don't trust Christ in this life as our Savior, our soul will experience eternal death in hell. Speaking of hell, thirdly, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now. You may be seated in the back. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Also, the Bible says in Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Did you see yourself? Which is the second death. Now hell in the lake of fire, my dear friends, is bad news. Hell is worse than jail, my dear friend. And jail is bad. But I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish in hell, that is, but have everlasting life in heaven with God. It is an amazing gift, this salvation that Jesus Christ has wrought. Jesus Christ, the God-man, who suffered and bled and died on the cross for your sins and for mine. He was buried and he rose from the dead 3 days later. He paid your sin debt and he paid my sin debt. And all we have to do is believe on him to be saved from the hell that we deserve and go to the heaven that we don't deserve. That's a great deal. That's a wonderful gift. Take advantage of it. I did. December 19th, 1979. And you need to do it today. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, and thou you shalt be saved. You don't have to join a church to be saved. You don't have to be in church right now to be saved. You don't have to sing in the choir. You don't have to get baptized. You don't have to give any money to the church to be saved, to be born again. It is free. And one of the reasons why it is free, because there's not enough money in Fort Knox. There's not enough money in the world that can pay for this salvation, because it's the precious blood of God himself who died on the cross for you and for me as the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. Saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. For whosoever, that word whosoever means anybody at any time, black, white, red, or yellow, murderer, drunkard, whoremonger, whore, liar, cheat, prostitute, homosexual, lesbian, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, once you trust Christ as Savior, he's going to change you. And you must be willing for that to happen. So, dear friend, if you believe right now in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world, that Jesus Christ suffered and bled and died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose from the dead by the power of God for you. Believe on him today and pray and ask him to save you. I'll be glad to lead you in the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. And be saved today. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I've done evil in your sight. I've broken your Ten Commandments. I have lied before many times. I have lusted after people and things before many times. I have taken your holy name in vain. I've dishonored my parents. I have disobeyed them. And I have stolen things before. For Jesus Christ's sake, have mercy and grace upon my wicked soul and forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, that he suffered and bled and died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit tonight and help me to repent of my sins, to turn from my evil ways, and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Dear friend of mine, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me, and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, the Bible, you are now saved from that awful place called hell and the lake of fire. And you're on your way to heaven, where God is, to be with him forever, because of his love and grace, because of his Son, Jesus Christ. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. Congratulations on trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've done the most important thing in life, and I assure you of that. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, my little booklet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. You have Jesus' words on it. You have the Lord's word on it. Never doubt it. You're saved today. Dear friend, until next time, God loves you. We love you. And may God bless you real good, is my prayer.